Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program where we discuss what the Bible says about issues facing our nation. Psalm 18:28, "For you light my lamp, the Lord my God illuminates my darkness." Since our program today falls on Halloween, I think it would be appropriate to take an in-depth look at this peculiar American holiday. Halloween is a great example of the truth found in Romans 1:18. That mankind has suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. We see the people of this world doing everything they can to expel Christian truth from government, education, business, history. People suppress God's truth. And in a moment, you will learn how Halloween demonstrates mankind's willful neglect of God's history. I am positive that if you stay tuned in, you are going to learn something new today. Before this program is over, I am going to share with you something only very few Christians know. In fact, you can probably fit into one room the number of people who know what I'm about to tell you about Halloween. Have I piqued your interest yet? Well, before I tell you, let me begin with what I'm not going to talk about in regard to Halloween. I am not going to say that Halloween is some demonic holiday for the worship of the devil. I've heard this kind of teaching coming from some Christian groups, and most of it is based upon personal impressions and questionable history. You probably already know that the practice of trick-or-treat began in ancient England. At the end of October, the Druids had a holiday to remember the dead. The townspeople would go out to the cemeteries and leave offerings of food on the gravestones, not unlike people today who put wreaths and flowers on graves. The poor children of the town would sneak out at night and steal the food off of the graves, sometimes wearing a cloak to look like the spirits of the dead coming to take the offerings. So the practice of the ancient Druids evolved into our contemporary trick-or-treat, where children dress up and go door-to-door for candy. And you can understand why this tradition held on. Children love to wear costumes, and children love to get presents and candy. And Halloween is a lot of fun for the whole family. As far as Christian families participating in Halloween, the issue is the best application of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that I can think of. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Corinthian church asked Paul whether it's right for believers to buy or eat meat sold in the marketplace that was sacrificed to the pagan gods. Now, to understand this text, you need to understand the Roman culture. The citizens of Corinth would bring animals to the pagan temples to be offered to the gods of Rome. The temples would have more meat than they would know what to do with, so it was taken to the marketplace and sold for hard cash. The question that the Corinthians had was, should a Christian eat or buy this meat? Some Christians may have thought that the meat was tainted with demons. Others may have thought it was a poor testimony to buy and eat this meat. Others may have believed it was the Christian duty to have nothing to do with any association with the pagan temples. You might be surprised by Paul's answer, because Paul says you can eat the meat. 1 Corinthians 10:25, "Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake." The reason Paul gives is that the gods of Rome are not real, and demons do not live in the meat. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, "We know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and there is no God but one." But Paul goes on to say that some weaker, less educated believers may not have that knowledge. 1 Corinthians 8:7, "However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to idols until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to idols, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled." So Paul goes on to recommend that if a believer associates the meat with his former life of idolatry, that believer should stay away from eating meats sold from the temple. This principle applies to Halloween. If a believer has a background in the occult, and for him Halloween is the worship of the devil and the worship of the grotesque, then he must avoid it. But for the believer who sees Halloween as an innocent game for children dress up and has nothing to do with the gruesome, then he can practice Halloween with a clear conscience. Now, as our culture has become more and more non-Christian, Halloween has been hijacked by the occult to be the celebration of death and violence and the bizarre. And Hollywood movies have contributed to this. But Halloween itself is neutral. It can be celebrated in goodness or in evil. Now, the principle laid out in 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 often confuses Christians because new Christians expect everything to be either right or wrong. And that is true in most cases. But there is a whole body of practices that are not intrinsically good or evil, but can become good or evil based upon the individual's motives and associations. Now, at this point, there are going to be some who say, well, I don't care what you say. I'm convinced that a Christian should have nothing to do with Halloween. Well, I suppose there were those in the first century who said, I don't care what Paul says. I believe it's always wrong for a Christian to eat meat sacrificed to idols. My answer to these people is that they need to stop following their feelings and start following the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God teaches us to be more strict. Other times it teaches us to allow more liberty. But everything that I've just been talking about has nothing to do with the real story of Halloween. At the end of October, the Druids of ancient England established this holiday we call Halloween for the remembrance of the dead. Coincidentally, the ancient Romans also had a holiday at the end of October for the remembrance of the dead. But after Christianity became the official religion of Rome, in AD 835, the Pope made November 1st the official church holy day to remember the dead, particularly the martyrs of the faith. And in the 10th century, another holy day was instituted on November 2nd, the Festival of All Souls. This festival was to mourn and to have sympathy for those suffering souls that they believed were still in purgatory. And so on this day, people held masses for the dead, and the graves were covered with flowers. Now, there are two reasons why the Pope decided to remember the deceased Christians on November 1st and 2nd. First, it was convenient for the people to celebrate after the harvest. Second, the Roman pagans already celebrated November 1st as a pagan holiday to remember the dead. And the Catholic Church was quick to Christianize pagan holidays. This is probably why we celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th, when the pagans celebrate the winter solstice, the ending of the longest night. So today, on November 1st, the Roman Catholic Church celebrates All Saints' Day. And Halloween derives its name from Hallowed Eve, which simply means the Holy Eve before All Saints' Day. The trick-or-treat part comes from ancient England before Christianity arrived. But even the Roman Church, in trying to Christianize this pagan holiday of remembrance for the dead, did not realize what the holiday was all about. It is very strange that so many cultures in this world have a holiday remembering the dead at the end of October. Cultures that seem to have no connection historically. It's on November 1st that the ancient Egyptians remembered the dead by launching a sacred boat into the Nile. The natives in Australia celebrate this day by painting white stripes all over their body and dancing around the fire like skeletons. On the Fiji Islands, the people commemorate the dead at the end of October. In Peru, the Indians celebrate the New Year at the beginning of November and remember the dead by placing food and drink on the graves. The Hindus celebrate in November Durga Puja, a festival for the dead, and the New Year Day. The Persians call November Mordad, meaning the angel of death. Now, all these examples come from James Frazer's classic work, Folklore in the Old Testament. And as I mentioned earlier, the Druids in England celebrated Halloween way before Christianity arrived. The Pleiades disappear out of the sky between October and November. The ancient tradition was to remember the dead and to celebrate the recreation of life at this time. Each year at this time, the Druids would pull down and rebuild the roof of their temple as a symbol of the destruction and the renovation of the world. On the evening, they would extinguish the sacred fires in the temple, and all the fires in the community were put out. It was believed that in this complete darkness, the phantom spirits of those who had died during the preceding year were then carried by boats to the judgment seat of the god of the dead. Dr. Johann Reims, a famous German scholar of ancient history, writes in his introduction to his book on ancient traditions that the New Year festival connected with and determined by the Pleiades at the end of October seems to be one of the most universal of all customs. Well, what happened at the end of October that made such an impact in the mind of the ancients that they would remember this time as either a remembrance of the dead or the new year? Was it simply because the trees were dropping their leaves? The Bible gives us the answer. For it was on October 31st, in the 1656th year after the creation of the world, that would be 2453 BC, that Noah entered the ark, the great depth burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened, and the first world was destroyed. Exactly 1 year later on that date, October 31st, Noah emerged from the ark. Because this was such an important event in the history of mankind, the Holy Spirit recorded the exact day in which the flood occurred so that mankind would remember that day. There are only four events in the Bible where the exact day and month are given as a remembrance: the Passover, the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem, salvation of the Jews in the days of Esther, and the day of the great flood. In Genesis 7:9, we read, "It came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened." The way the Hebrew scripture records dates means that this was the 600th year of Noah's life, but the second month and the 17th day of the calendar. Through Moses, God gave the first five books of the Bible. In Exodus, God gave the people two calendars: the agricultural calendar in Exodus 34 and the religious calendar in Exodus 12. Every Bible scholar agrees that this reference in Genesis 7 would be following the agricultural calendar. In the Jewish agricultural calendar, the first day of the year is called Rosh Hashanah, meaning beginning of the year, and it is celebrated in September. This year it falls on September 9th, but it can be as late as September 28th. The Genesis text says that the flood came in the second month on the 17th day. The second Jewish month begins in the middle of October, or October. 17 days from that point would put us around the end of October, October 31st. It is therefore no surprise that so many cultures remember the dead and celebrate the new year at the end of October. The ancients memorialized the flood like we memorialize D-Day or Pearl Harbor or 9/11. The flood made a big impact in the life of Noah and his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Imagine if you saw the destruction of the earth and everyone you knew died in one day. You would tell your children and your children's children, and since Noah continued to live another 350 years after the flood, and his son Shem lived to age 600, there were plenty of people who heard the truth of God and heard about the great flood. In 1872, archaeologist George Smith discovered clay tablets in the ancient ruins of the Library of Nineveh. There he found a Babylonian account of the Noahic flood. It was called the Epic of Gilgamesh. It was an interview with Noah himself. And the account is remarkably similar to the biblical account, except you can see in the Babylonian account that it is embellished with pagan thought. The Greeks have the legend of Atlantis. The world was once one continent. On that continent was a wonderful empire, which was destroyed in one day by a violent earthquake and flood. Plato himself comments on Atlantis and mentions that the country was destroyed by God when men became violent and greedy. The Romans have a flood tradition. The ancient poet Ovid writes about the creation and the flood. According to Chinese tradition, a man by the name of Fahi escaped from the flood, which destroyed the human race, with the exception of himself, his wife, his three sons, and their daughters. There are many more ancient accounts of the flood, and if you're interested, you can do the research in any large library. But here is the lesson. We celebrate Halloween, and the world has no idea what it's celebrating, because the original truth has been lost. But why was it lost? Because people accidentally lost the records? No, it's a spiritual problem. As we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, mankind has suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. As the story was passed from generation to generation, unbelief and pagan ideas were injected into the story, because the true story of man's sin and God's judgment was too much for the sinner to take. The Apostle Peter writes about the flood account in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. The Apostle Peter writes that both the record of the creation and the record of the flood escaped the notice of mankind. The Greek word here for willed is a powerful word implying the act of volition. It's used throughout the New Testament to describe the will of God and the will of men. And the text says that people willed to ignore the truth of the flood. Therefore, this is not an intellectual overlooking of the evidence. This is a moral choosing, an attempt to do away with the uncomfortable fact that there is a holy God. There's a Christian documentary out there called Expelled, which gives real accounts of how educators and scientists who believe in creationism are persecuted in the academic world. The media and the scientific world immediately labeled the movie Christian propaganda. I was going to watch the movie Expelled, but the Netflix copy that was sent to me was too scratched to play, and it was obvious that someone took a knife to it so that no one else could see the movie. That shows exactly what mankind does to any truth that threatens their godless worldview. In ancient Israel, the law of Moses was so suppressed that it was out of print until Joshua found a copy of the Torah when making repairs in the temple. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, we read that there arose another generation which did not know the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Because of sin and rebellion, each generation of mankind goes downward spiritually and neglects to learn the truths of the past. When Paul preached to the Athenians, he said in Acts chapter 17, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Even the Athenians willfully lost the knowledge of God. Biblical anthropology is that mankind had the knowledge of the true God and his ways. Everyone at the Tower of Babel knew. But the people of this world, having a penchant for sin and error, deliberately and boldly exchanged the truth for the lie. And they turned to idolatry and superstition, and their cultures were degraded. And that's what we read in Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. And this suppression of truth continues today. The courts are throwing out Christian morality. Government schools refuse to teach creation science and biblical ethics. The schools are rewriting American history so as to leave out or repudiate the influence of Christianity in America. Look at what the people of this world have done to Christmas and Easter. It's now about Santa Claus and a rabbit. We should not be surprised that over the last 4,000 years, the record of the Noahic flood was conveniently forgotten by the world. Hosea chapter 4, "The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land." As I drive around and I see all the Halloween decorations and see the kids going trick-or-treating, I think how pitiful it is that nobody knows the truth of what they're celebrating. Halloween is the day to remember the Noahic flood. About 4,450 years ago, it came about that the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open and the floodgates of the sky were opened. The date is in the Bible for a very important reason. People need to remember the destruction of the first world, to know that God judges sin and he does intervene in the affairs of men. But think of this. As the world is in darkness concerning the first destruction of the earth, so it is also in darkness concerning the second destruction, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." People ignore God's past. They also ignore God's future. There are so many people who walk in darkness because they don't see the Lord through the Holy Scriptures. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Here is the challenge for you if you do not know the Lord. Your ignorance of Halloween is just a sample. It demonstrates that you are part of the fallen culture, and you too go through life suppressing the truth. You avoid the Bible, the church, the Christian people, because you don't want to know, because you don't have a love or interest in God. But God's Holy Spirit can change all that, and His Holy Spirit can lead you to faith and repentance. I hope you become part of His kingdom. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your host, Pastor Brad Winship. Our website is godandcountryradio.org. You can email us or listen to this message again there. The topic of next week's program will be what Jesus taught about the new birth. We read in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." On this program, we discuss many different applications of the Bible to current social issues. But the bottom line is that the new birth is the solution to every personal and social problem we face. When was the last time you heard a politician or a political talk show host or someone in the media say that the solution to our national ills is that more people need to be born again by the power of the Spirit of God? This is the answer that the world is ignoring. If we're ever going to be changed for earth or heaven, it will take the new birth. Because we run into so many people who are unaware of biblical teaching, in conjunction with next week's program, we have put together a special off-the-air CD explaining the doctrine of the new birth. And this CD can be a great resource Christians can pass on to friends and neighbors who are searching for biblical answers. We are offering this CD for a suggested donation of $3 each. This will help cover the cost of the CD, the label, the sleeve, the envelope, and the mailing. Two ways you can get this CD: call us at Harbor Bible Church, 732-583-9286, or go to godandcountryradio.org, click on Contact Us, and email us your address. The number again is 732-583-9286. The website is godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we have suppressed the truth. We live in ignorance. We no longer want to be in darkness. Expose the darkness in our land with your truth. Fill us with the light of the knowledge of God. May we discern and see everything that you're doing in this world, and may we forever love you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Amen.